2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Good morning, and thanks for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chalaos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. Number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Alan is our next listener. He's in Cottonwood Heights. And good morning, Alan. What is your question?
I am planting strawberries and raspberries, and I wonder which ever-bearing model or varieties are the best for us to plant.
Well, as far as strawberries, if you're going to be ordering them, EV2, like just EVIE, number 2, is pretty good. Seascape would be another one that you could look at that has a pretty good reputation for ever-bearing strawberries.
Okay.
Now, ever-bearing strawberries have a tendency to produce more heavily in the spring and fall, and then slow down in the middle of the summer to where if you have a patch, you might get a bowl full of them to enjoy with some cereal or yogurt or something, but your production still is going to be primarily spring and fall. Now, as far as ever-bearing raspberries, there are many of them out there, but for just the production value and the flavor, I've been telling people either Polana, and it's spelled P-O-L-A-N-A, that one is really productive and it has a really good flavor. And then there's another called Polka that is even more productive, that has good flavor, but it's not quite as good as Polana.
Are both of those thornless?
Yeah, I think so. I would actually have to look again now that you've asked. I haven't been in the berry patches enough. I mean, if you're looking for thornless, I mean, the old Heritage and Camby mix that are less productive would be something you would need to look at.
Okay. What time of year is the best to plant either one of those?
You're probably going to have to plant the raspberry sometime from mid-March to mid-April because that's when they're most available. You can order them online. And then the strawberries are usually available from early to mid-April through June.
Okay. Any other recommendation as far as soil?
I just don't plant raspberries and strawberries where you've previously had them. You need a good 3 to 4 year gap before you replant an area with them. So just new okay. area in the yard.
Okay, that's great. Okay, I appreciate your help. Thanks for being on radio for us.
Great, Alan. Thanks for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, says, can the black lace elderberry be pruned? And if so, how would you do that?
Prune it in mid-March, and you take about 20 to 25% of the branches out of the middle. So you get your loppers, or if they're big branches, a sawzall with a wood pruning blade, and just go into the middle as close to the base as you can reasonably get. Sometimes that's a few feet out. And just take out, you know, 20, 25% of those, the largest branches, that'll bring the size down by about a third. Mm-hmm. And then you can give it a light haircut, but that will keep it blooming, but keep the size in check.
All right. Next person says they have some maple trees that have the borders of the leaves getting crispy. Seems to happen every year around the 1st of September. What is wrong?
Heat scorch. And it's what happens in Utah. With that stint of 100-degree heat plus 100-plus degree heat we had earlier this month, mm-hmm. I have been seeing fried trees all over. Aspens have been hard hit. Maples have been hard hit. But fall is close enough, and they would naturally be dropping their leaves anyway. I'm not really worried.
Okay. Next listener says, when is the best time to trim a peach tree, and how much should you trim?
Watch some videos on tree trimming, and you prune peaches in mid-March. J.D. Gunnell and Jerry Goodspeed have a pretty good video on YouTube that talks about pruning peaches I would take a look at. Depending on the area they live, a lot of the local garden centers or like Conservation Garden Park sponsors pruning classes that you can take also. But that's where I'd start. And so for me to try to describe how to prune a peach, it's kind of like trying to describe how to ride a bike over the air. It's just something that you need to get experience with, watch the videos, and get your hands dirty.
Well, the next person says, I have some old trees with dead limb branches. Can they trim them in the fall?
Absolutely. Anything dead can come out at any time.
And when is a good time to transplant aspen trees and poplar tree cuttings?
Now, when they say cuttings, I'm hoping they're digging them up and they're actually rooted.
I don't know.
I'm hoping, but if they're doing cuttings, you want to wait for spring so that they have all season to root in.
Okay. Let's go back to our phone lines. Inger is in Taylorsville. Good morning. What is your question this morning?
Well, I didn't have success growing my potatoes in a big barrel. I read the directions on the USU site, and so I put in some potting soil and put the seedlings in. And then as they grew up, I would add soil and fertilizer like I've done in the ground, and the plants looked great. But when I tried to harvest them, there was not a one.
Probably heat. We were so hot this year, and those containers heat up more than the native soil. And so I suspect that the heat got to them. And if you wanted to try it again, what I would recommend doing is maybe, if it's possible, what color is the pot you put them in?
Brown.
And so if you painted it white, that might cool it down a bit. But if you want to give it another shot. But potatoes, I grew them successfully for years, and then I had a couple of years that actually happened in my garden. I was so excited because I had these plants that were 3 feet tall, the biggest I'd ever grown, and I went to harvest, and there wasn't a potato there. And it was heat-related, and sometimes too much fertilizer will cause a lack of the potato production, too.
Okay. Can you recommend fingerling potatoes?
Not off the top of my head. They're so uncommon. What I would maybe recommend doing is downloading you on the potato fact sheet. There may be some varieties recommended there. But oftentimes when you get into more of the specialty varieties, because potatoes are native to the Andes, and so they don't really freeze, but it's never really hot, when you start looking at varieties that are more specialty, there's an increased chance that they struggle here. And so if people are doing this, I've often recommended to use more tried and true varieties. You know, if you're wanting the red Pontiac or Norland, or, you know, Russet Norcota, Russet Burbank, especially Russet Norcota, the ones that we know do better in warmer weather, and maybe give it a shot with those too.
Okay, we'll start over.
All right. Thank you. It's always an experiment. Thanks so much for your call this morning. Next listener, Tan, says they're wondering what kind of an evergreen or low maintenance tree can be planted on a slope. They live on the bench in Sandy.
So evergreen or low maintenance tree, I wish I had some size parameters for them, but crab apples, especially the fruitless crab apples like Spring Snow or Merrill Lee, the Royal Raindrops is another one I really like. Hawthorns, if they're in an area that it's not over like cement, but the hawthorns are really low maintenance. As far as evergreens are low maintenance, Mugo pines, it's spelled M-U-G-O, are very low maintenance, along with a lot of the junipers.
Okay. Next listener says their garden is overrun with squash bugs. How do they prevent them for next year?
Clean up everything in the garden so there's not debris around that they can overwinter under. Mm-hmm. Till the soil after it's cleaned out. But monitoring, there's no way to just eliminate them from your yard in 1 year. Dave Meekum, who guest hosts and is a frequent, he jumps in on the show regularly, didn't grow squash for 2 or 3 years. And this year he's been squash bug free.
Yes.
You know, he had that willpower not to do it. Mm-hmm. But taking a 2 or 3 year gap and hoping that the neighbors don't have squash too. But the only solid way to do it is monitoring. So you're looking under the leaves once a week. Anytime you find, you know, using the soapy water to try to get the adults, but constant monitoring through late June into August is about the only thing I know to do.
So clean up, you're just saying clean up everything, make sure that you don't have anything left. But then does it help to like till the soil?
It does, because they're on that soil. And a lot of times when you stir the soil up, that will reduce populations of grasshoppers and other insects you don't want in the garden that would feed on your plants.
Okay. And then the next person wants to know, what is the best ground cover in an orchard where there is minimal foot traffic?
Minimal foot traffic. There are a lot of options. If they're wanting a grass cover for in between the rows, something like a hard fescue would be fine, because they don't spread. Once you plant them, they don't really spread too much, so they're not going to overtake under the trees.
Mm-hmm.
If they wanted to mix that with some clover, that is a great mix. It'll add a little bit of nitrogen back into the soil. The orchardists through southern Utah County oftentimes use perennial rye. It's not super drought hardy, but it minimizes spider mites. There's a lot of options, but something that doesn't spread with tillers. So like the fescues, I really like them because they're a little more drought hardy, especially like hard fescue, and they don't spread like wildfire, so you don't get where you don't want them.
Okay. We'll take a break, come back with the final segment of the show. Number to call, 801-575-8255. You can still text us your questions at 57500.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you. Let's go right back to our phone lines. And Devin is in South Jordan. Good morning, Devin. What is your question?
Hi, thank you. I planted 2 Canadian choke cherries. I think it's been 5 or 6 years. And they have not changed in size and have barely had any green leaves each year with new growth. But they consistently sprout out around the trunk. So I'm guessing they're root bound and they're too low. I'm wondering if you can give me tips on the right way to dig up and recover them so they can start growing.
If you can. So how clay is your soil?
It's pretty clay. It's a lot of rocks.
Okay. So it's rocky. And I mean, if you dug a hole, I guess picked a hole with all your rocks and filled that hole with water, how long would it take the water to drain off?
I am not sure in that spot, now that you mention it. Probably a while. You think there's too much water?
Well, it could be that the soil retains too much water, and that if those trees were planted too deeply, that's exactly what would happen, is they would never thrive. They'd get lots of root suckers, and the tops just wouldn't really take off. So they may be planted too deeply, but at this point, how long did you say they've been in?
I think 5 years.
5 years. I mean, they're going to be fairly well established. They should be. But if you wanted to dig them and lift them, you know, without knowing if they're planted too deeply, you would do that in late October, early November, or mid-March. So when you plant the trees, you should be able to see what's called the root flare right at ground level. And so the tree will have, at the base, the trunk starts to expand a little bit. So the diameter is wider where the roots start. And so where those roots start should be right at ground level. And I'm wondering with your clay soil, if they're maybe planted a bit too deeply, because if those root suckers also are turning red for you and are healthy, you might be able to just to train one of them up, or two or three of them, and train yourself a multi-trunk tree.
Interesting. Okay. I'm sure they're deep. These were the first ones I planted. I did the park method where they dig a bit hole and put them deep in the hole thinking it would help with water.
Yeah. And it's probably if they're too deep, you're actually better off planting trees a little too shallow than a little too deep as far as their health.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
All right, Devin. Thanks for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, says they can't recycle shredded paper in their area. Would it work for a good mulch for their garden?
It could. You know, they don't want to be using glossy magazine paper, but as long as the paper, you know, newspaper's fine and things that what some people will do is compost it with other things and compost well, but you can use shredded paper or sheets of paper in your garden. But if you use the shredded paper, you have to wet it down before it blows away. Mm-hmm. And keep it. And once it's wetted down, it'll kind of form a mat. It's less likely to. But if you live in areas at the mouth of a canyon or something and try to put that out, you need to do it when the winds aren't blowing.
All right. That's it for the show. Sorry we didn't get to all of your texts. We do our very best. It's kind of hard to time everything, but we appreciate you listening, and we'll get to more of your questions next week. And next week, we'll begin the show at 8, and we'll go till 9:30. So have a great day, Ton. Enjoy your weekend.
You have a great weekend also.
Thank you. And make sure you check out the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page for our latest videos, or go to our YouTube channel.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.